الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا ولا تؤمنوا حتى تحابوا أولا أدلكم على شيء إذا فعلتموه تحاببتم أفشوا السلام بينكم أو كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته الله سبحانه وتعالى through His grace granted the tawfiq to read a very beautiful hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam as part of the khutbah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam says, لا تدخلوا الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not enter Jannah until you become complete believers. You will not enter Jannah until you become perfect believers. وَلَا تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّوا. And you will not become perfect believers, you will not become complete believers until you love each other. Believers are of two types: complete, incomplete, perfect, imperfect. Incomplete believer, imperfect believer. There is no guarantee for him. as far as the imperfect, incomplete believer is concerned, there is no guarantee for him from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. Guarantee is only for perfect believers, for complete believers. One who believes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in whatever He has conveyed to us through His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam without a shadow of doubt, he becomes a believer. And when a person recognizes the truth and he accepts the truth, and after accepting the truth without any doubt, he proclaims the truth by saying La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, or Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. He becomes a believer. He becomes a mu'min. And at that precise moment, when he proclaims the truth, he is a perfect believer. He is a complete believer. After that, whether he remains a perfect and complete believer or not depends on whether he carries out the dues of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not, whether he abstains from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not. So when we are born in Muslim homes and we reach the age of puberty, until we reach the age of puberty, we are all perfect mu'minin, perfect believers, complete believers. When we reach the age of puberty, when we become baligh, after that, whether we remain perfect believers, whether we remain complete believers or not, all depends on how we behave with the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If after becoming baligh a person does not perform salat, a person became baligh during the night and he did not attend the fajr salah, so when he became baligh during the night, he was a perfect believer, complete believer. If he performs his fajr salah, he remains perfect, he remains complete. In fact, he becomes even more perfect, even more complete. But if he does not perform salah, that is a defect in his iman. So he is a believer, but not a perfect believer. He is a believer. He is 100% believer. He believes in Allah. He believes in the malaika. He believes in the books. He believes in the messengers. He believes in the life after death. He believes in Jannah. He believes in Jahannam. He believes in all the sifat and the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He believes in each and everything that is conveyed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to us through His beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without a shadow of doubt, but namaz, salat is missing in his life. So he is imperfect. He is imperfect. He is an ordinary believer. Not perfect. Ordinary. He is a believer. He is 100% believer, but ordinary believer. It's like a house, foundation, four walls,
roof, windows, airtight, watertight. So it's a complete house. It's a full house, but it is ordinary house, not complete, not perfect. Carpet will make it more perfect, more better. So it's now people will say it looks perfect. Painting, wallpaper, it's even more perfect. Nice ceiling, even more perfect. Tube lights, even more perfect. Chandelier, even more perfect. When a person accepts Iman and he believes in everything that he is supposed to believe in, he is a full mu'min. But his Iman is only a shell. His Iman is only a shell. He does not have anything that will attract anybody. So you have a house, only a shell. It will not attract anybody. You have to decorate that house, then it will attract people. The more you decorate, the more perfect that house will become and the more it will attract people. The more you decorate, the more people it will attract, the more offers it will attract, more customers it will attract, more buyers it will attract, and the price will rise as well. When a person believes in what he has to believe, he is a shell. His Iman is like a shell. And a shell does not attract anybody. Majority of the Muslims living throughout the world are shells. And it is for this reason we cannot attract anybody. And the Sahaba-e-Kiram Rizwanullahi Ta'ala Ali Majmain were shells fully decorated. So they attracted everybody. The more a person carries out the do's and the more he abstains from the don'ts, the more perfect he becomes. The more complete he becomes. There is no limit to perfection. Even in this world, there is a limit. But as far as our human inability is concerned, there is no limit to perfecting a house. You can buy a chandelier which is worth £1,000. You can also buy a chandelier worth £5,000. You can also buy a chandelier worth £15,000, £50,000, £100,000. Same with carpet, same with wallpaper, same with paint, same with doors, same with handles and locks, same with the type of tiles you use. There is no limit. It depends on how much you can afford. The more don'ts we abstain from and the more do's we carry out, the more perfect our building of Iman becomes and the more attractive it is to the Creator and also the creation. When do we become beloved to Allah? When a person becomes beloved, that means he becomes attractive. When do we become beloved to Allah? When do we become attractive to Allah? When we follow our model, role model, our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and when we become like him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِن كُنْتُمْ تُحِبُّونَ اللَّهَ فَاتَّبِعُونِي يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. Emulate me. Allah will make you his beloved. This is the promise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made in the Quran. He has ordered his beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say that, O my messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell your followers, fattabi'uni, follow in my footsteps. Copy me. copy me. Because I only do that which pleases Allah. I 100% abstain from all the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I always carry out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I am particular in regard to faraid, I am particular in regard to wajibat, I am particular in regard to sunan, I am particular in regard to mustahabbat, and I am also particular in regard to nawafil. So copy me. Copy me. I abstain from all the don'ts. I safeguard my eyes from the don'ts. I safeguard my ears from the don'ts. I safeguard my tongue from the don'ts. I safeguard my heart and mind from the don'ts. My inner self is pure and my life is pure. If you make your, if you emulate me, if you copy me, if you become like me, that means you have purified your inner self and you have purified your life. So you are like me now. So become like me, emulate me, copy me. Allah will make you His beloved. So how can we become attractive to Allah? How can we become beloved to Allah? By carrying out the do's and abstaining from the don'ts. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when a person becomes attractive and beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes him attractive and beloved to all His creation, including the malaika, including Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam. If you emulate our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you emulate our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, emulating means follow the do's, abstain from the don'ts. If we do that, we will become the beloved of Allah. This is the promise of the Quran. فَاتَّبِعُونِ يُحْبِبْكُمُ اللَّهِ. And if we become beloved to Allah, if we become attractive to Allah, our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا أَحَبَّ اللَّهُ عَبْدًا نَادَى جِبْرِيلِ. When a person becomes attractive to Allah and when a person becomes beloved to Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hearkens Jibreel alayhi salam. And he says, O Jibreel, inni uhibbu fulanan fa'ahibbahu, I love so and so, you also love him. He is attractive to me, he is beloved to me, so he should be attractive to you also and he should be beloved to you also. So that person becomes the beloved of Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam. And thereafter, with the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Jibreel alayhi salatu wassalam declares amongst the people of the heavens, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ فُلَانًا فَأَحِبُّوهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves so and so. And it is His order that all of you should also love Him. And immediately, as soon as the declaration is made, immediately this person becomes attractive and beloved to the people of the heavens. And as soon as he becomes the people, the beloved and of the people of the heavens, and he becomes attractive to the people of the heavens, فَيُوْدَهُ لَهُ الْقُبُولُ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He becomes attractive and beloved to the people on the earth. People are compelled to love him. Without even seeing him. Without even seeing him. We all have experienced this in our lives. We hear of a pious personality and we experience love for this person. We experience attraction towards this person. And slowly, slowly, slowly this love increases, this attraction increases, and we yearn to see this person. We look for opportunities to just glance at this person. And when we do get the opportunity, we feel so happy. We feel so happy. And upon being able to observe this person, the love increases. and the attraction increases and this continues until he departs from this world and after he departs from this world. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Tirmizi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahimahullah ta'ala, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah ta'ala, Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah ta'ala, Sheikh Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullah ta'ala. We haven't seen these people. Ibrahim bin Adham rahimahullah ta'ala, Rabia Bisriya rahimahullah ta'ala. Shaykh al-Hadith Mawlana Zakariya rahimahullah ta'ala, Shaykh Abul Hasan Ali al-Nadwi rahimahullah ta'ala, Mawlana Ilyas rahimahullah ta'ala, Mawlana Yusuf Sahib rahimahullah ta'ala, Shah Waliullah Sahib Muhaddis Dehlavi rahimahullah ta'ala, all these personalities that we hear of, Sahaba and the Tabi'een were very great. But even those who came after, when we hear these names, we experience ecstasy in our hearts. We experience attraction. We experience love for them. Love for them. And majority of us only know these personalities by name. Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahimahullah ta'ala. As soon as we hear this name, we find love. We experience love in our hearts. We find inclination towards this personality. And we yearn to see this person. We start daydreaming. He may have looked like this. I hope I am able to see him on the day of Qiyamah. And if you were asked, what do you know about Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayhi? How much do you know about him? The answer is zero. I just know his name. I only know his name. Who is adorning our hearts and enlightening our hearts with the love of these great people? The Creator, because it is His promise that a person will become attractive and beloved to the Creator and the creation if he carries out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and if he abstains from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُخْلِفُ الْمِعَادِ. And Allah never breaks His promise. So one is the ordinary Muslim. Ordinary Muslim. The one who recognizes the truth. Alhamdulillah, we have all recognized the truth. One who believes the truth. Alhamdulillah, we all believe from the depth of our hearts without a shadow of doubt. And we should. And thereafter, the one who proclaims the truth, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. Alhamdulillah, we have proclaimed, we proclaim, and inshallah, with the favor of Allah, we will continue proclaiming until Jannah. So we are believers, but ordinary believers. Ordinary believers. When a person reaches the age of puberty, when he becomes baligh, or when a person enters the fold of Islam, he is ordinary believer and at the same time complete believer because he has not violated any of the do's. He has not carried out any of the don'ts. Carrying out the do's and abstaining from the don'ts makes a person's iman complete and perfect. And violating the do's and not abstaining from the don'ts makes a person's iman imperfect. Believer, but imperfect believer. And each person will vary as far as imperfection is concerned. Person A, imperfect. Person B, imperfect. Person C, imperfect. But they will vary. Person A is completely imperfect because in his life there is no salat, no zakat, no fasting, no sawm, no hajj. Person B is also imperfect, but not as much as person A. Why? Because he performs salat and he gives zakat. Despite Hajj being fard, he is not performing Hajj. And he does not fast in the month of Ramadan. And person C is also imperfect. Because he is performing salat, he is fasting in the month of Ramadan. And he is also giving zakah. But despite Hajj being fard, he has not performed Hajj. So he is imperfect. But less imperfect than the first two. So each person will vary as far as perfection and imperfection is concerned. A person becomes 100% perfect mu'min when he carries out all the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstains from all the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if ever he sleeps, he repents immediately. This is the perfect believer. One who safeguards his eyes from looking at wrong things, one who safeguards his ears from listening to wrong things, one who safeguards his tongue from speaking wrong things, one who safeguards his heart and mind from entertaining wrong things. Heart is pure. The body is the life, the external life is pure and the inner self is pure. There is salat in his life, there is zakat in his life, there is hajj in his life, there is som in his life, there is truth in his life, there is trustworthiness in his life, there is serving the parents and keeping them happy in his life. He abstains from lying, he abstains from deceiving, he abstains from alcohol, he abstains from drugs. So he abstains from all the don'ts and he carries out all the do's. And if once in a while overcome by shaitan or overcome by nafs, he slips. وَالَّذِينَ إِذَا فَعَلُوا فَاحِشَةً أَوْ ظَلَمُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ ذَكَرُوا اللَّهِ. He remembers Allah immediately and he turns to Allah and he says, فَاسْتَغْفَرُوا لِذُنُوبِهِمْ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ أَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهِ. Oh Allah, I have made a mistake. I am asking for forgiveness. I will not do this again. Forgive me. So he was imperfect for a while and after repenting he has become perfect again. So we have two types of believers. لا تدخل الجنة حتى تؤمنوا. You will not be able to enter Jannah until you become perfect believers. Two types of believers, perfect and imperfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has guaranteed everything for the perfect believer, nothing for the imperfect believer. Ordinary iman is not sufficient. Ordinary iman is very valuable because that is the foundation. But ordinary iman is not sufficient. For ordinary believer, the one who is imperfect, he does not follow the whole deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that if I desire, I will give you contentment of heart in this world. I will give you honor and dignity in this world. I will give you wealth in this world. I will give you good health in this world if I desire. And if I desire, I will not give you anything. I will give you what I desire and I will take away from you whatever I desire. No guarantee. Contentment of heart is the most important thing in this world. The resources of contentment of heart are not important. A person is filling his belly, but he doesn't find satisfaction. There is craving for something. I want to eat something nice. So he's very wealthy. He goes to this restaurant, this takeaway, this dish, that dish, but the craving remains. I want more. I want something nice, something special. And you have a person who is very poor, who can only eat once a day. So eats chapati and dal, but satisfaction. Satisfaction comes direct from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not through resources. And in this world, this is what everyone strives for. Why do we strive for wealth? Because we wrongly believe that with the money I will be able to satisfy all my desires. But we cannot. Why do we buy a brand new beautiful car? Because we feel that I will be able to satisfy this desire that I have. I have that. I want a beautiful car. I want the best car in the locality. Never. In this world, we can never satisfy our desires through resources, because satisfaction comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Contentment comes only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innul qulub. Through the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only can hearts find contentment. And what is the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A person rises, a person elevates himself in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala so much that the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala overpowers his heart and mind, and on every step he is able to carry out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and on every step he is able to abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showers his heart with contentment. Na dunya se, na dawlat se, na ghar abad karne se. Na dunya se. A person cannot acquire contentment of heart through worldly items. Dawlat, through wealth, no. Through a mansion, nice house, no. Na dunya se, na dawlat se, na ghar abad karne se, tasalli dil ko milti hai khuda ko yaad karne se. One can only acquire the contentment of heart and the satisfaction of the heart through remembrance of Allah. And the first stage of remembering Allah is through the tongue. Subhanallah, 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 alhamdulillah, 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 Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. This is the first stage of dhikr. Through this also we find satisfaction. But because this is the first stage of remembrance, so we find temporary satisfaction. It is for this reason when we are in pain, what do we say? Allah! When we experience a very severe headache, we say, oh Allah! And this person continually says, oh Allah! Oh Allah! Oh Allah! Why? Because he finds satisfaction to his pain. But temporary satisfaction. The second stage, the dhikr of the tongue and the dhikr of the heart. And the mind is connected to the heart, so zikr of the heart and the mind. So continually, whether the tongue is remembering Allah or not, the person remembers Allah. And when a person remembers Allah, that Allah is watching me, my Allah is watching me, my Allah is watching me, my Allah is watching me, He is great, He can punish me, He can reward me. He will carry out all the do's and abstain from all the don'ts. This is the high stage of zikr. And when a person reaches this stage of zikr, then Allah grants him total satisfaction of the heart. The believer who carries out all the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstains from all the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a perfect believer. Otherwise, he is an imperfect believer. And for imperfect believer, there are no promises from Allah. Embed this in your heart and mind, my friends. There are no promises. Promises are for perfect believers. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave glory to the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhim ajma'in. And Allah granted them honor in this world. Allah granted them satisfaction in this world. Allah granted them peace of mind, tranquility of the heart in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them satisfaction even in poverty. Even in poverty. Even in pain. Even in pain. Ahad, ahad. Ahad, ahad. Ahad, ahad. Bilal radiallahu anhu, how much pain he was experiencing. But no, he was not experiencing pain. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was giving him anesthetic. Anesthetic of special contentment from him. Sakina. Because Bilal was carrying out all the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he was abstaining from all the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Radiallahu anhu wa arda. Wa asharana fi zumratihi. Wa muhibbi. Contentment of Had. Ahad, 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 ahad. Ahad. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. He was not screaming out of pain. No, he was saying ahad, 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 ahad. When Haram ibn Milhan is struck with a spear and the spear penetrates from the back and comes out from the front and the blood starts gushing, he takes the blood in his hands, he wets his palms with the blood and he, with these hands, he rubs his face. Imagine the pain he must have been experiencing. Imagine I and you, somebody attacking us with a spear from the back. And the spear penetrates all the way to the front. And the blood starts gushing. But no, because he was a perfect believer. So even in conditions of pain, they experience happiness. What did he say? He rubbed his face with the bloody hands and he said, Fuzta wa Rabbi al-Kaaba. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq to understand this very important point. Very important point. Fuzta wa Rabbi al-Kaaba. By the rub of Kaaba, I swear by the rub of Kaaba, I have become successful. Fuzta wa Rabbi al-Kaaba. I have become successful. We are all believers, but because we are imperfect believers, what is our condition? If I am healthy, I am successful. If I am not healthy, I am not successful. We get worried. Here the person is dying and he says, I am successful. If we experience barakah in our wealth, alhamdulillah, I am successful. Because of my 40 days, because of my 4 months, because of my hajj, because of my umrah, because of my ilm, because of my dini khidm, alhamdulillah, I am very successful. Allah is with me. And if we experience poverty, I am a failure. We don't say Fuzta wa Rabbi al-Kaaba. Because we are imperfect believers. A person came to Haji Imdadullah Muhajiri Makki Rahmatullahi Alayhi in Makkah Mukarrama. And he had been ill for the past few days. And he started complaining to Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi that I have come for Umrah. And every moment in Makkah Mukarrama, Madina Munawwara is valuable. And I became so ill that I could not get out of my bed. It was very difficult for me to perform wudu, perform salat even in my hotel. I could not go to Haram. So he was complaining about himself that I have been deprived because I became sick. I was not able to go to the Haram. I was not able to perform tawaf. I was not able to perform 5 times salat with jamaat. Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi, knowing the level of his understanding of deen, consoled him. And after he left, Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi Alayhi turned to the likes of Maulana Shaykh Ali Thanvi Rahmatullahi Alayhi and them who were sitting there. And he said, if he was Arif, Arif is the perfect believer. If he was Arif, that means if he was a perfect believer, if he was somebody who carried out all the do's and abstained from the all the don'ts, he would not have complained. Why wouldn't he have complained? Because he would have remained happy with every situation that Allah has decreed for him. I have come all the way from India, Pakistan, UK to Makkah Mukarrama, but it is Allah's desire. It is Allah's desire that I don't go to the Haram. I can't walk to the Haram. I'm so sick. I'm so ill. I can't walk to the Haram. What can I do? It is Allah's desire. I am happy with the desire of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perfect believers, my friend. Because we are imperfect, the only The only thing that the Ummah today is doing is complaining. Nothing but complaints. There are 99 imperfections in our iman, and we are only carrying out one particular good deed, and we expect so much from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is Allah's grace that we are surviving. It is Allah's grace that we are surviving with honor and dignity. It is Allah's grace that people are meeting us and they are making salam to us and greeting us. It is Allah's grace that rain is powering upon us. It is Allah's grace that money is coming, wealth is coming, risk is coming. It is Allah's grace that we are able to eat and digest the food. It is Allah's grace that we are walking on the surface of this earth. Let us not look at our jubbas and our imamas and our beards and our miswak only. Let us not look at our 40 days and 4 months only. Let us not look at our umrah and hajj only. Let us look at the other aspects of deen. Ayatul munafiq salasun. Put all these ibadat on one side. And look very carefully how many signs of munafiq we have in our lives. إِذَا حَدَّسَ كَذَرَ We lie without any necessity. We lie in our day-to-day conversations. We make up a joke. We make up a story just to amuse people. إِذَا حَدَّسَ كَذَرَ وَإِذَا وَعَدَ أَخْذَرَ When we make a promise, when we are making the promise, we know that we are not going to fulfill this promise. Just to make him happy, we are making the promise. And then we say to each other, it's okay. I will just text him and I will make some excuse. Very common. Lying, very common. Breaking promises, very common. We have so many qualities of hypocrites in our... We are mu'minin, alhamdulillah, because we believe. But we have the qualities of the munafiqeen in our lives. We deceive people. We are two-faced. Something here, something here. When the person is in front of us, we say something. When he leaves, we say something. Immediately we start backbiting. We have changed so much, my friends. And we expect the glory that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had granted to the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Takbir to ab bhi hoti hai, masjid ki fiza mein e anwar. The poet's name is Anwar. He says that even today, in the masjid, the takbir takes place. But the effect of the takbir that used to have on the hearts of the people during the times of the Sahaba Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majmain, that effect is there no more. Takbir to ab bhi hoti hai, masjid ki fiza mein e anwar, jis zarb se dil hil jate the, wo zarb lagana bhul gaye. Musalmanon mein khun baki nahi hai, mohabbat ka junu baki nahi hai, safe kaj dil pareshan sajda be zauk ke jazbe andaru baki nahi hai. Outer Islam only. Outer Islam. Nothing inside. No love for each other. No feeling for each other. No mercy for each other. No grace for each other. Despite all these shortcomings, we are still perfect believers. We are very pious. We feel very happy when people praise us. We feel very happy when people ask us to make dua for them. And we don't realize how we will fare on the day of Qiyamah. Every individual of the Ummah is imperfect. The only person who is perfect is me. I am the only perfect person. This is my assumption, that I am perfect, everybody else is imperfect. I will find faults in everybody except myself. Why am I looking for faults in other people? Will Allah question me on the day of Qiyamah regarding them? Or is Allah going to question me regarding me? I should be looking for faults in my life so I can repair those faults before I stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. نتی حال کی جب ہمیں اپنی خبر رہے دیکھتے لوگوں کے عیب و ہنر پڑی اپنی برائیوں پر جو نظر تو جہاں میں کوئی برا نہ رہا. When I was unaware of my inner condition and my outer condition, both conditions, I was unaware. Why was I unaware? Why was I unaware? Because I was focusing on Zaid, Amr and Bakr and not myself. Whenever I came into the masjid, I'm looking at Zaid, Amr and Bakr, Ibrahim, Ismail and Ahmed. Not myself. I'm looking at his ruku and I'm looking at his sajda and I'm looking at his qiyam. Not my qiyam. Not my sajda. Not my ruku. I am not asking Maulana Asif that can you check my ruku please? I'm not asking Qari Sayyid that can you listen to my Surah Fatiha? But I am listening very carefully to the qirat of the Imam and finding faults in his qirat. Despite him reciting 90% better than me. But I find faults. This is what all of us are doing, my friends. And this is a deceit from shaitan, a very severe deceit from shaitan, that he keeps us neglectful in regards to our lives. He will never let us focus on the negative aspects of our lives. He will only make us focus on the positive aspects of our lives. I hope my young friends also will pay attention to what I am saying. We have come here today, alhamdulillah. I have come from Leicester. When I return to Leicester tonight and when I lie down or when I am walking in the sitting or living room of my house or when I am returning, when I am in the car, then from the time I have left Leicester today after Zohar until I have returned, I will only be able to see the bullet points of the positive aspects of this journey. You will experience this also, my friend. So am I immune from sins? Am I a Nabi? Am I a prophet? Am I a Rasul? Am I a messenger that I don't make mistakes? No, it's not possible. It's a very long journey. I left Leicester at approximately 12 o'clock. I will return approximately 10, 11, 12 o'clock. So in 12 hours, a person will definitely make mistakes. But negative points will not come automatically in your mind. Positive points will come. Why? Because shaitan is making us focus on the positive points only. He will play only the film of the positive aspects of our lives. In order to find the negative aspects, we have to play the film. So we have to very carefully think. Because there is a curtain lying between ourselves and the negative points. And we have to remove that curtain. Shaitan has put that curtain. And we have to think very carefully, when I left Leicester, what was my intention? Whenever I thought about the bayan I had to do after Asr, after Maghrib or after Isha, what was I thinking? When I thought of the various topics I would discuss, what was I thinking? What thought was coming? I want to impress the people of Batli. Alhamdulillah, the last few years, 10 years, 5 years, whatever I have been there, every bayan had a good impact. I hope I return today with a good impact as well. Were these the thoughts that were passing through my heart and mind? We have to x-ray ourselves. We need MRI and CT scans of ourselves daily, my friends. After every amal, after every 24 hours, then only we will succeed. Otherwise on the day of Qiyamah we will find that we have sinned so much, and the positive things that we were seeing in this world, we will find them faulty also as a result of not having sincerity. I am not discouraging you. Alhamdulillah, whatever tawfiq Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is granting you and I, we should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should continue doing whatever we are doing, how superficial it may be. At least the shell is there, and try to make that shell better. Salat is there without sincerity. The shell of salat is there at least. If we stop coming, even that shell will go away. So what will be perfect if shell is gone as well? So continue. But X-ray, MRI, CT scan, continue checking. Is my sajda according to sunnah? Is my ruku according to sunnah? There are so many of us who perform salat without tadil of arkan. Tadil of arkan is wajib. And what is tadil of arkan? From one position to the other position. When we move from one posture to another posture, a person should remain in that posture for at least that period where the whole body becomes motionless. Whole body becomes motionless. The way we perform salat, Allahu Akbar, Subhanahu Rabbi Rajim, Subhanahu Rabbi Rajim, Allahu Akbar, we are moving all the time. We need to look at the mashayikh. Come into the masjid, sit behind them when they are performing the sunnah. After first salat, sit behind them and see how they are performing the salat. Going to ruku, Allahu Akbar. After going into ruku, keep your attention, keep your focus on your salat. After going into ruku, say, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim. By the time you say three times, Subhana Rabbi al-Azim in this manner, your body will become motionless. Sunnah, each and every sunnah perfects the amal. Sunnah is there to bring perfection to the farz. Sami Allahu liman hamida. When we say Sami Allahu liman hamida, when we go to Haram Sharif, what happens in the first salah we perform? The very first salah we perform in the Haram Sharif, the very first rakat, the Imam says Sami Allahu liman hamida, and we are near to ruku to go into sajda. Because we are not used to remain standing. Sami Allahu liman hamida, Allahu Akbar. Tadil arkan is wajib. Without tadil arkan, salat is useless. So we are performing salat without tadil arkan. Nowadays, so many people are standing in salat in qiyam, and they are not reciting the Quran. They are imagining the words of the Quran. Look to the right, look to the left. You will find so many people whose lips are not moving. They are performing sunnah. Allahu Akbar. So they are imagining. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Maliki, Yawmiddin, Iyyaka Na'budu. Qira is fard. Without qira, salat is invalid. So we are coming to perform salat. We are performing salat, but our salat is invalid because we are not reciting the Quran. We are imagining the Quran. Qira is to move your lips. Qira is to recite the Quran so you are able to hear. You should feel that you are reciting the Quran. So we are looking at Zaid, Amr and Bakr. Nati hal ki jab hame apni khabar. I was unaware of my own state of affairs. Why? Because I was not doing my X-ray. I was doing other people's X-ray. I was scanning other people, not myself. So when I was unaware of my condition, what was I doing? Rahe dekhte logo ke abo hunar. This person has this quality, but he has this fault. This person has this quality, but he has this fault. This person has this fault, this fault, this fault. This person has this shortcoming, this shortcoming, this shortcoming. And because our hearts are sick, spiritually sick. So first we mention a good quality of a person. Because our hearts are very sick, we find it very, very difficult to praise somebody. That is the first thing. We can't praise anybody. We cannot listen to the praise of other people. So when somebody is praised, we say, you are right, but there is one thing in him which maybe you don't know. And sometimes when we cannot find faults in anybody, somebody is very pious, very perfect, a good believer, we cannot find fault, what do we say? Let me tell you something about him. Listen carefully, let me tell you something about him. Leave it. It's best not to say anything. So you leave the person with so many doubts in regard to that person. Because you haven't got anything to say. Let me tell you something about him. You don't know. You don't know him. I know him. I live next door to him. Leave it. Leave it. And some people go as far as saying, leave it. I do not want to backbite. You have committed a greater sin than backbiting. You have committed not greater, much greater sin than backbiting. My friends, we in gathering such as these, we need to understand our reality. What is our reality as far as deen is concerned? How seriously are we taking our deen? How seriously are we taking our salat? We have become engrossed in this material world so much that nothing is important to us as far as deen is concerned. Deen has become a tradition, a custom. For me, salat is important to remain a religious person. So I'm very punctual as far as salat is concerned. For somebody, tabligh is very important to remain a religious person. So for each person, there is something that is important according to him, that if I continue doing this, then I remain a religious person. No, my friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching everything. The malaika are writing down everything. Let us become perfect believers. Ibadat, devotions, worship, devotion, muamalat, dealings and transactions, muasharat, social etiquettes, akhlaq, is sabr there, sabr, is tawakkul there, sabr, patience. When I am instigated, am I able to control myself? Sabr, is sabr there? If I am struck with a calamity, do I break or am I able to hold on to myself? How much sabr do I have? How much reliance on Allah do I have? These are the akhlaq. Politeness with one another is the result of the akhlaq that is within our hearts. The root of the akhlaq, what is in our hearts? Shukr. Shukr. My gratefulness towards my Creator, how much is there? Gratefulness. Am I grateful or am I ungrateful? And the evils of the heart. Malice, rancor, hatred. Malice, rancor, hatred, jealousy in the pride and arrogance. Young, old alike experience these things. Pride, arrogance. Yehi tujhko dhun hai rahu sabse aala. This is your only obsession. I want to remain right at the top. Young and old, everybody. Yehi tujhko dhun hai rahu sabse aala. For the sake of deen, for the sake of the ummah, for the protection of deen, protection of ummah, to safeguard the unity of the ummah, safeguard the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, safeguard the future generations of the ummah, nobody will take a step back. Nobody will know, this chair is mine. This chair is mine. And no one asks you to say, no, this chair is mine. The two of us will fight, and as a result, the congregation will be divided into two parts, and the two factions will fight against each other, and as a result, everybody will make a loss in the hereafter. Because we are not perfect, and because we are not perfect, we cannot see haq. We cannot see what is truth. The only thing I can see is that at the moment I am competing with Maulana Asif. I am competing with Maulana Asif, and by hook or by crook I need to overpower him. That is my only obsession. Because if you take Maulana Asif out of equation, I have overpowered everybody. He is the only obstacle for me. Yehi tujhko dunya rahu sabse bala. I want to remain right at the top. Nobody is prepared to give sacrifice for the hereafter. Nobody is prepared to give sacrifice for Allah. Nobody is prepared to give sacrifice for Jannah. Nobody is prepared to give sacrifice for the masses. Masses, what will happen to the masses? Yehi tujhko dhun hai rahu sabse bala. This is your only obsession. Sometimes two individuals, sometimes two groups. Sometimes two individuals, sometimes two groups. Sometimes on a local basis, sometimes on a national basis, sometimes international basis. यही तुझको दून है रहूं सबसे, आई वॉन्ट टू ओवर पावर दी अदर पार्टी. लिसन वेरी केयरफुली टू दीज कपलेट्स ऑफ ख्वाजा साहिब रहमतुल्लाह अलैह. यही तुझको दून है रहूं सबसे बाला, दिस इज योर ओनली ऑब्सेशन, आई वॉन्ट टू रिमेन राइट एट द टॉप. हो जीनत निराली हो फैशन निराला, एवरीथिंग ऑफ माइन हैज टू बी यूनिक. My clothing has to be unique. My jacket has to be unique. My topi has to be unique. My pen has to be unique. My mobile set, handset has to be unique. My car has to be unique. All those people who are wrangling and fighting amongst themselves for power, individuals or groups, Khwaja Sahib is asking this question, jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala? You have made this your objection. This your objective? This has become your objective. I want to overpower. I want to overpower. I want to overpower. There is only one power. That is the power of Allah. And our objective should be to remain under His power, not to overpower. Our objective in life, Allah has created us to remain servants, slaves. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I have created only so that you remain my servant. My servant. You worship me only. You devote yourself to me only. You remain my servant. You remain my slave. Allah has sent us into this world to remain as servants. It is for this reason, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when eating, used to sit like a slave. And he used to say, إِنِّي آكُلُ كَمَا يَأْكُلُ الْعَبْدُ. I sit and eat like a slave. Because just as a slave sits in a squatting position with this in mind, that it's possible that my master may call me anytime. My master may call me anytime. My master may call me anytime. So he sits in a squatting position. He doesn't relax and eat. He doesn't recline. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I also sit like a slave. Why? Because I also have a master who is looking at me. So even the young people, we experience this pride, haughtiness, arrogance. Who is my father to tell me? Who is my mother to tell me? Who is my maulana to tell me? Who is my imam to tell me? Who are you to tell me? Mind your own business. Leave me alone. I know what I am doing. Jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala? The one who is going to die tomorrow, is this the type of life he lives? If I and you are not going to die, if I and you were not going to face Malakul Maut, if I and you were not going to sleep in the grave, if I and you were not going to be questioned in the grave, if I and you were not to be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah, if I and you were not going to be reckoned on the day of Qiyamah, if I and you had not to cross the Sirat, then fine, haughtiness is okay. Trying to overpower people is okay, pride is okay, jealousy is okay, because there is no accountability. But we will have to die one day. Malakul Maut will come and extract our soul. We will have to go in the grave and we will have to face the punishment of the grave. We will be resurrected on the day of Qiyamah. And haughty people, proud people, and arrogant people will be made very small on the day of Qiyamah. We will have to stand in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we will be questioned for each and every word we have uttered. We will have to answer for each and every action we have committed. And we will have to cross the sirat under which lies Jahannam. Yehi tujhko dhun hai rahun sabse bala, ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala, jiya karta hai kya yuhi marne wala, the one who has to die one day, is this the type of life he lives? No. Tujhe husn-e zahir ne dhoke mein dala. The apparent glitter of this world has deceived you. You have been deceived by shaitan that I am still young. And people like me who are in their 50s, we still feel that I am still young. I am still young means I have still got a long way to go. I will die after 20, 30 years. And when I reach 70, 80, 90, I will still feel the same. I still have 10, 20 more years to go. My friends, live from here with this firm resolution that from today we will X-ray ourselves and we will perfect our lives. Please make this firm resolution. Young, old, alike, we will perfect our lives. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised everything for the perfect believer. He has not promised anything for imperfect believer. Let us go step by step. Imperfect believer. The most important thing in this world, the key thing is contentment of heart. No promise. No promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If I desire, I will give you, grant you contentment of heart. If I desire, I will take it away. Lot of people experience contentment of heart, but they don't remain content and satisfied all the way. A time comes in their lives, due to them being imperfect believers, that they lose the satisfaction. They lose the contentment of heart. No guarantee. Imperfect believer, there is no guarantee that he will die as a believer. Husn-e khatima is not guaranteed for him. If Allah graces him, he will live as a mu'min. If Allah does not grace him, his iman will be taken away. For imperfect believer, there is no guarantee in the grave. If Allah desires, Allah will forgive him. If Allah desires, Allah will punish him. On the day of Qiyamah, no guarantee. No guarantee that he will be granted shade. If Allah desires, Allah may grant him shade. If Allah desires, no shade. At the time of reckoning, no guarantee. Easy reckoning if Allah desires. Otherwise, interrogation. Pul sirat, no guarantee. Imperfect believer. Pul sirat, no guarantee that he will cross the sirat. No guarantee. No guarantee. If Allah desires, he may. If Allah. As far as the perfect believer is concerned, for him are all guarantees. Guarantee number one, for as long as you remain in this world, whether you have resources of satisfaction and contentment or not, I will fill your heart with contentment and with satisfaction. You will never have sleeping problems. Never. Perfect believer. Perfect believer guaranteed husn-e-khatima. Husn-e-khatima guaranteed. Perfect believer, his grave will become a garden from the gardens of paradise. Guaranteed. Perfect believer, shade under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is guaranteed. Perfect believer, easy reckoning is guaranteed. Perfect believer, crossing the sirat with the speed of lightning without having to go in the fire of Jahannam is guaranteed. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith, لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. You will not be able to go direct into Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam unless you become perfect believers. Listen to the translation again. You will not be able to enter Jannah directly without having to go in the fire of Jahannam until you become perfect believers. And in order to become perfect believers, you will have to abstain from all the don'ts and you will have to carry out all the do's. And from amongst the do's, one do is, you don't hate each other, you love each other. So you will not be able to become perfect believers until you love each other. So you have salat in your life, you have zakat in your life, you have tilawat in your life, you have som in your life, you have zikr in your life, you have hajj in your life, you have tabligh in your life, you have umrah in your life, you have hajj in your life, you have everything in your life. All the do's in your life, and from amongst the do's, you have all the fara'is, all the wajibat, all the sunnah, sunan, all the mustahabbat, all the nawafil. And you have abstain from all the don'ts. Don't haram, makruhat tahrimiya, makruhat tanzihiya. So everything is there, everything. You will not find a single Muslim who will be of this category, because it's very difficult to follow all the mustahabbat and all the nawafil. But let's assume, the only thing that is missing is that instead of loving his mu'min brother or brothers or sisters, he has hatred. he will not be able to go into Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam. This is what Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying in this hadith. You will not be able to enter Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam directly without, unless you become perfect believers. And in order to become perfect believers, you have to carry out all the do's, abstain from all the don'ts, including loving each other. Loving each other. Love for each other. Where is love for each other today? Where is love for each other? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that every Mondays and every Thursdays when our amal are presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then as long as the person is a believer, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have forgiven him. Every Mondays and every Thursdays. It is for this reason our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. Mondays and Thursdays. He would say that amal are presented in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on Mondays and Thursdays. It is my desire that my amal are presented whilst I am fasting. So the malaika will say that during the last 2-3 days he did this and alhamdulillah today he is fasting. We should also try to fast on Mondays and Thursdays, especially during the winter months. During the winter months, it's very, very easy. Very easy. Approximately 6 o'clock, we close and we begin the fast and we break the fast at 4 o'clock. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala used to say to the ulama of his time, he used to say, Ya ma'ashar al-qurra, oh the group of ulama, in winter he used to say. And the winter in the Middle East is not very different from the summer. Slightly. Here, vast difference between the two seasons. In Middle East, he would say, Ya ma'ashar al-qurra, oh the group of ulama, Qala al-laylu li-qiyamikum, wa qasura al-naharu li-siyamikum. The night has become very long for your tahajjud. If you go to sleep after Isha, you will easily be able to wake up for tahajjud. The culture, the Islamic culture, the culture of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the culture of Sahaba, is to sleep early at night and rise early in the morning. Nowadays, the bad culture, the culture that destroys our being, is sleep late and rise late. Not only do we sacrifice tahajjud, we sacrifice fajr salat also. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala used to say, oh, the group of ulama, the night has become long for your tahajjud salat. So perform tahajjud, it's more easier now. And the day has become short for your fast. So fast. Fast. He would say, Fagtanimu. Fagtanimu. Benefit from these days. So I'm encouraging all of you. At our madrasa, at the Islamic Dawa Academy, during this season, November, December, January, February, we have approximately 150 students. Every Monday and Thursday, you will find approximately 100 students who fast. Voluntarily. Voluntarily they fast. And some asatidah and some students fast the fast of Dawood, which is very, very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَحَبُّ السِّيَامِ إِلَى اللَّهِ السِّيَامُ دَاوُدْ. One day fasting, one day breaking the fast. One day fast, one day leave. One day fast, one day leave. Some students, full-time studies, some teachers. These things will perfect our iman. So inshallah we will fast also during these months, November, December, January, February. And we will try also after that too. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, used to fast on Mondays and Thursdays. So Mondays, Thursday, our amal are presented to the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I have forgiven everybody except for those two people who entertain rancor and hatred for each other. I will not forgive them. Until when? Anziru hazaine. Leave these two alone. Hatta yastaliha. Until they compromise. Until they clean their hearts and they begin to love each other. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innal bughzata al-haliqah. Hatred for a mu'min, hatred for a mu'min, hatred for a believer. It shaves the deen. Shaves the deen means, it wipes away all the good deeds. It shaves the deen. Why does it shave the deen? We have experience in our day-to-day lives, whether there is a friction between two individuals or two groups. As a result of this hatred, all evils will come into their lives. All evils. Backbiting, slandering, lying, disrespecting. Let us learn to love each other. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said on the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Aynal mutahabbuna bi jalali. Where are those people who used to love each other only for my pleasure? Where are those people? Thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, Al-yawma udhilluhum fi dhilli, yawma la dhilla illa dhilli. Today I will grant them shade, under the shade of my throne, or under the shade of my mercy, when there is no shade except this shade. Abu Idris al-Khawlani rahimahullahu ta'ala says, Abu Idris al-Khawlani rahimahullahu ta'ala says, that I went to Damascus, if I can remember correctly, it is Damascus or any place, it doesn't really matter because the substance of hadith is important for us. So he said, I saw a young man, with bright teeth, very good looking, handsome. And I saw people sitting around him. And I also observed after a while that whenever two people had dispute in regard to worldly matters, deeni matters, they would both go to him. In this day and age, this is a very big problem as well. Because we have become big ourselves, there is no one bigger than us. So who should we refer to? If there is a dispute, who should we refer it to? I am big, I don't need to go to anybody else. And the other party also feels, I am big, I don't need to go to anybody. And we never try to resolve our issues. We try to find support. We don't go to the ulama to guide us, that this is a problem, can you please guide us? No. We will go to those ulama regarding whom we know that they will support our cause. So we are the followers of our whims and desires. We are the followers of our nafs. We have decided what we want to do. But we look for those muftis and those ulama who will support our cause. And if a mufti or if an alim has that opinion, which is in accordance to our opinion, we like him. And if an alim, despite all his piety and with sincerity, was to support the other party, then we will have no respect for that alim. We will begin to backbite him, we will begin to slander him, and as a result, we will incur the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What are we doing, my friends? What are we doing? Think. This, that, gossip. Don't worry about Zaid, don't worry about Amr, don't worry about Bakr, don't worry about Ahmad. Worry about yourself. On the day of Qiyamah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will first ask you regarding yourself, thereafter your family, thereafter your dear and near ones, and thereafter he will question you regarding the Ummah. First he will ask you about yourself. Safeguard your deen, safeguard your iman. Safeguard the little rewards that you have earned in the last 20, 30 years. Don't destroy them. My late father, rahimahullahu ta'ala, used to say, there is a hadith wherein Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that on the day of Qiyamah, those people who will have rights upon us, whose rights we have violated as a result of backbiting, slandering, or not giving his monetary rights. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that the currency has changed now. You had backbited, and according to the currency of this world, give this person 1,000 rewards. So 1,000 nekis, 1,000 hasanah will be given to this person. Give this person 2,000. Give this person 250. Give this person 500. And there will be a line of people whose rights we would have violated in this world, which we do not even realize at this moment. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that when he will have no hasana, no good deed anymore, and the angels will instruct him to give 1,000 hasana, he will say, I have no hasana. So the angels will say, transfer his 1,000 sins into his account. So sins will be transferred. My late father, rahimahullah ta'ala, used to say that whenever we have a dispute, my late father used to say, whenever we have a dispute, we forget the akhirah, we forget the hereafter, we forget the status of that person, the position of that person, and we are always degrading him, disgracing him, hurting him, harming him to such an extent that on the day of Qiyamah, when people will stand in line, those people whose rights we have violated, the very first person will have so many rights upon us that the very first person will go away with all our goodies. And then as far as the other people are concerned, we will have to take their sins, heaps of sins. Let us become perfect believers. Let us worry about our hereafter. If I have a court case, and if I see somebody who also has a court case, somebody else who also has a court case, I will not ask him what your problem is. And if he starts talking about his problem, I will say, brother, we'll talk later. I am thinking about, I have to stand in front of the judge. Umar radiallahu ta'ala used to say, Hasibu anfusakum qabla an tuhasabu. Reckon yourself before you are reckoned on the day of Qiyamah. Wazinu anfusakum qabla an tuzanu. And weigh your amal here. Look at the good deeds, look at the bad deeds. In the good deeds, look how much ikhlas there is, if there is any. Look at your amal. Is it according to the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Weigh your amal before they are weighed on the day of Qiyamah. And then he would say, وَتَأَهَبُ لِلْعَرْضِ الْأَكْبَرِ. And prepare yourself for the Supreme Court. Supreme Court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us love each other. So, we can't resolve our issues because there is no one senior to me. I am the most senior. And Maulana has dispute with me. He feels that he is the most senior. So who should we refer to? Before, problems were solved very quickly because both used to have a senior. Yes, he is my senior too. Do you agree if we go to this Maulana? Yes, I also agree. He is my senior too. Will you accept whatever he says? Yes, alhamdulillah. No, nowadays we will not accept anything that is said to us by our seniors. We look for support. So we are using the ulama for our causes as well. We are using the mashayikh and the muftis for our causes. We are not utilizing the ulama for guidance. Ulama were there for guidance, to guide us. Mashayikh were there to guide us. So he said, Abu Idris al-Khawlani rahimahullah ta'ala, who is a tabi, he says that anyone who had a difference, any two people who had differences, they would go to him and they would return. Wasadaru anhu bira'ihi. They would both return with his opinion. That means whether his opinion was in his favor or in my favor, both of them would accept his opinion. So he was a person with lot of influence, respected by everybody. So he said, I said, who is this person? So the person who I asked said, this is the sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Mu'adh ibn Jabal. This is Mu'adh ibn Jabal, regarding whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, A'lamuhum bil halali wal haram. Mu'adh ibn Jabal. The one with the most knowledge regarding halal and haram is Muadh ibn Jabal, the great Mufti, Muadh ibn Jabal. Fine, there is a big crowd, lot of people around. I know the culture of the Sahaba. Abu Idris al-Khawlani must have thought, I know the culture of the Sahaba. Tomorrow morning he will come early to the masjid when there is nobody in the masjid and he will worship Allah. So I will come at that time to meet him. I will not disturb him now. Because Adabul Muasharat was there in the lives. I do not want to inconvenience anybody. He said that I went very early to the masjid. 8:30, 9 o'clock. I went very early to the masjid. But he had surpassed me. And when I entered the masjid, Muadh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was on his own performing salat. He said, I sat behind him and waited for him to complete his salat. This is very important, Adabul Muasharat. Adabul Muasharat is part of deen. And if we don't adhere to Adabul Muasharat, we will inconvenience the other person, which is not permissible in deen. But no. No Adabul Muasharat. We will do whatever we feel like doing. How can we become perfect believers? Because I am in a rush. And when Abdul Rauf Sahib happens to be next to me and he is in Leicester, I am in a rush. I want to shake hands with him. So I will not look at his situation. I will look at my situation. I am in a rush. And it is my desire to shake hands with him. So at any cost I will do that. Now Hazrat Manan after Salat is engaged in his azkar and I will say Assalamu Alaikum. Against Adabul Muasharat. As a result of this action, if we inconvenience Hazrat Maulana, it is a sin. Causing harm, inconvenience to other people is not permissible. And Musafa is Sunnah. Musafa is Sunnah. Salam is Sunnah. And it is foolishness to incur the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in order to carry out a Sunnah. What do we see near Al-Hajar al-Aswad? Not only pushing, fighting as well, punching each other as well. This is haram. And kissing Hajar al-Aswad, istilam of Hajar al-Aswad is mustahab only. So he sat behind when he completed his salat. He said, I went to him from the front. See, Adabul Muasharat. Because if you come and sit next to somebody, it inconveniences him. So he said, I went from far off and I went in front of him. He had completed his salat and I walked towards him. And his body language was welcoming. So he was not engaged in anything. So I sat down in front of him, Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. And he said, the very first thing I said to him was, Inni uhibbuka fillah. I love you for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have love for somebody in our hearts, to express this love is mustahab. It is mustahab to express this love. Allahu Akbar. And if we are told that it is mustahab, so you should express your love, we have to think, who do I love? To whom shall I say, Inni uhibbuka fillah? Because I don't love anybody for the pleasure of Allah. I don't love anybody. If I do love anybody, it is for dunya. For Inni uhibbuka fillah. Once I and Maulana Ahmad Sahib were performing salat, were about to perform two rakat after tawaf behind Maqam Ibrahim, and my gaze fell on Mufti Taqi Usmani Sahib. Damat Barakatuhum. So I said to Maulana Ahmad Sahib that we will be able to perform our salat later on, but if we miss Mufti Sahib, we may not be able to find him again. So let us leave salat for a while and let us join him in the tawaf and let us meet him. So he was near Hajar, he was still coming after Hajar Aswad, so we met him in such a way that his gaze falls on us so that we know whether he would like to meet us or not, otherwise we would have just walked with him. So when his gaze fell on us as a result of his shafqa, he became very happy and Not only did he shake hands with both of us, he hugged both of us. Between Hajar-e-Aswad and between Maqam-e-Ibrahim. And then he said, are you in tawaf also? So we said, no, we have completed our tawaf. So he said, I still have two or three rounds. So I said, Hazrat, we will walk with you. If you give us permission, we will walk with you. So we started walking. And suddenly between Maqam-e-Ibrahim and Baytullah, he stopped. He stopped and he looked at me and he said, Maulana, I have said this to you before as well. But the urge is there to say this here whilst doing tawaf. So I said he was going to advise me regarding something. So I said, Hazrat, go ahead. So he said, Inni uhibbuka fillah. For the only that person can say this in this situation who actually loves for the pleasure of Allah. I am not saying that I am somebody very big, that Mufti Taqi Usmani. I am saying Mufti Sahib is so great that he can love an individual and especially an insignificant person like me only for the pleasure of Allah. And he was so sure that this amal of his was for the pleasure of Allah that he was prepared to say this right in front of Kaaba between Hajar-e-Aswad, between Maqam-e-Ibrahim and Kaaba whilst performing tawaf. Can we, hand on heart, can we say this to anybody? 100% that I love you only for the pleasure of Allah. We have text messages in archives and we keep sending them, Inni uhibbuka fillah. Inni uhibbuka, how many people do we love for the pleasure of Allah? Pleasure of Allah. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Once I went to Palestine and we also had the opportunity of going to that part of Palestine which has been recognized as Israel. And there are many Muslims there as well. And we as a group, there was a group of 35-40 of us who had gone as a delegation from here. So we were to stay in a hotel. So the Muslim brothers there said, how can you stay in a hotel when you are our Muslim brothers? No, you will not stay in a hotel. You will stay in our homes. So they distributed us. So me and two other brothers from Leicester with me, three of us, we went to a brother's house. We already had our meal. So he asked us if we desired tea, coffee. So we said, yes, we'll have something. So he went into the kitchen. He came back from the kitchen. He sat himself down on the sofa. And he just started crying, sobbing. So we looked at each other and we thought that has somebody passed away? Has something happened? So I got up and I consoled him. And I said, brother, has something happened? So he could not control himself. He was crying so much. So I kept on consoling him and I said, inshallah, Allah will have mercy. Allah will give you reward. And when he was able to have control over himself again, he looked at me and he said, I am not crying out of grief. Nothing has happened. I am crying out of happiness. I said, you are crying out of happiness? What is the source of happiness? So he said that I have read this hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam long time ago. That there are seven categories of people. Sab'atun yudhilluhumullahu fi dhillihi yawma la dhilla illa dhillu, who will be granted shade under the throne or under the mercy of, under the shade of the throne or under the shade of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on that day when there will be no shade except this shade. And from among the seven people, he said, رَجُلَانِ تَحَبَّ فِي اللَّهِ, those two Muslims who love each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, اجتماع عليه وتفرق عليه, when they meet each other only for the pleasure of Allah, and when they separate only for the pleasure of Allah. So he said, since the time I had read this hadith, I was x-raying myself, that I love this person, but it's because of business. I love this person because of this. I could not find a single Muslim who I loved for the pleasure of Allah. But he said, when I went into the kitchen, I experienced love for the three of you. So I x-rayed myself and I found that I love you three only for the pleasure of Allah. So he said, I'm crying out of happiness that inshallah on the day of Qiyamah I will be under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he said, Inni uhibbuka fillah, I love you for the pleasure of Allah. So what did Muadh ibn Jabal radiyallahu anhu say? Allah. He said, Wallahi, he said, I love you for the pleasure. He said, Allah, by Allah, can you swear by Allah that you love me only for the pleasure of Allah? So he said, Allah, I swear by the pleasure of Allah, by Allah, I take oath of Allah. So Muad ibn Jabal said, Allah, can you swear by Allah? He said, Allah, yes, I swear by Allah. Third time he asked, Allah, can you take oath of Allah that you love me only for His pleasure? He said, Allah, yes, I love you only for the pleasure of Allah. So he said, Abshir. Abshir, after confirming that his love was only for the pleasure of Allah, Muad ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu said, Abshir, become happy. Take glad tidings from me. فَإِنِّي سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. Because I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, Yaqulullahu azza wa jal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wajabat mahabbati, my love becomes incumbent for that person. My love wajabat mahabbati, my love becomes incumbent for those people, lil mutahabbina fiyya, who love each other only for my pleasure. وَالْمُتَزَاوِرِينَ فِيَّ, those who visit each other only for my pleasure. وَالْمُتَجَالِسِينَ فِيَّ, those people who sit with each other only for my pleasure. I am concluding now, my friends. لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ حَتَّى تُؤْمِنُوا. You will not be able to enter Jannah without having to go in the fire of Jahannam directly, without having to go in the fire of Jahannam, unless you become perfect believers. And you cannot become perfect believers until you carry out all the do's and abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of which is, don't hate each other, have love for each other. So the key to Jannah is love for each other. If we have love for each other, our iman will become perfect. Thereafter, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُهُ وَتَحَابَبْتُمْ. All my brothers who are sitting here, all my sisters who are listening to me, and all those people who will listen to me after will say, yes, we understand. And we want to love each other, but how? Because the heart is not in my control. I want to love Qari Sahib. I want to love Maulana Sahib. I want to love Imam Sahib. I want to love Sadar Sahib. I want to love Maulana. I want to love. Because I have understood that is the key. But heart is not in my control. I have rancor for this brother. I can't find inclination. How? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is answering this question, and he is showing us the path towards love for each other. أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Shall I not guide you towards that amal which if you begin to practice, you will begin to love each other? The Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi madmin must have said, why not, O Messenger of Allah? Let us know. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ, spread salam amongst you. Every amal, my friends, every amal has an effect. Banana has an effect on our physical health. Banana, apple has a different effect. Orange has a different effect. Everything has an effect. Carbohydrates, they also have effect. Fatty foods have every positive, negative, both effects. Similarly, the good we do has an effect on ourselves, our spiritual aspect of our lives. The evil we do, that also has effect on our spiritual aspect of our lives. The effect of salam, one of the greatest effects of salam is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala binds two hearts together. So if I have rancor for our Imam Sahib, may Allah save all of us from rancor, from hatred, from disliking each other. My friends, if we have rancor, if we have malice, if we have hatred, if we have disliking for each other, then Shab-e-Barat is not Shab-e-Barat, Shab-e-Qadr is not Shab-e-Qadr, Eid-ul-Fitr is not Eid-ul-Fitr, and Eid-ul-Adha is not Eid-ul-Adha. What is the point of that Eid when our hearts cannot bind together? بے تکلف دین میں جو کھاتے تھے ان کی عید کیا، چائے سگریٹ نوش فرماتے تھے ان کی عید کیا، بغض و کینہ دل میں لے کے مل گئے تو عید کیا. What is that عید where two people are meeting each other with hatred and rancor? What is that عید؟ بغض و کینہ دل میں لے کے مل گئے تو عید کیا، عید کے دن بھی دل سے نہ دل ملے تو عید کیا. Even on the day of عید if two hearts cannot bind together, what is the point of that عید؟ Shamama imama is عید؟ Nice jubba is عید؟ No, the satisfaction of the heart is عید. So if I have hatred, disliking, rancor, malice for Imam Sahib, for anybody, and it may not be from the other side, or it may be from both sides, it may be from one side, what is the remedy? Whenever I meet Imam Sahib, I should say, even despite not wanting to, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi, I may not be able to see eye to eye, but with a bitter face even, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Angrily as well, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. You will see that within days and within weeks, your heart will soften, your body language will change, and you will entertain good thoughts, and you will entertain love for Imam Sahib. Afshus salama bainakum. And what is the commentary of Afshus salama bainakum that the muhaddisin have given? Afshus salam. Spread salam. Afshus salam. There are two methods of spreading salam. One is to say the salam loudly. If I say, Assalamu alaikum, it will go as far as here. So it's spreading, but not as far as, and if I say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, it will spread right throughout the masjid. So Afshus salam means to say the salam loudly. Loudly so everybody can hear. Afshus salam. And number two, Afshus salam means to say it frequently. Say it frequently. And this Sharia has taught us the limit of frequency. Frequently does not mean that in one majlis you say, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. No. The place of salam is that when two people meet after separating, that is the place of salam. So for example, I have come into the masjid and Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rauf Sahib met me, so I say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then I go to the wuzu khana, so we separate. And if we meet again, then I say again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hazrat Maulana had to go in the office for something. And when he returns, he says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi. This is frequently. Frequently. A Saudi alim invited me to his home in Madina Munawwara. And their custom of da'wat is very different from ours. First, they will come with a cup of tea. With qahwa, I think, with qahwa, and then he will go and bring dates, and then he will bring dastarkhan, and then he will bring one item, and then he will bring the second item. So there were 20 of us approximately. Every time he went into the house, and every time he came back, he very loudly said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, ya ikhwani, hayyakumullah, marhaban bikum, ahlan wa sahlan. Every time he came from, it was as if he was seeing us for the first time. And after the meal was over, so he must have gone at least 12, 13 times. And after the meal was, during the meal also he was coming and going. And after the meal was over, he was taking everything again because of strict hijab and parda. He was the only person who was doing all the serving. Every time he came back, again, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu, ya ikhwani. Ahlan wa sahlan, hayyakumullah, marhaban bikum, marhaban bikum, marhaban bikum. So every time, salam, when we enter the house, we say, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. When we leave the house, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Lot of people surprise me, when they are outside their homes, they are praying for the whole ummah. Whoever comes across, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum, Assalamu alaikum. And the poor wife at home, poor children at home, when he enters the home, no salam. When he leaves the home, no salam. Salam, as much as possible. Frequently and loudly. Frequently and loudly. frequently and loudly. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. So let us spread salam amongst us inshallah. And salam has to be correct also. Assalamu alaikum. Same as the one we say in salat. Assalamu alaikum. Salamu alaikum. Salam alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum is the shortest formula. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi is even better. And assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. May the peace of Allah be upon you. May the blessings of Allah be upon you. And may the mercy of Allah be upon you. If we continually pray for each other, three things, you will not find a single believer, single Muslim who is suffering in this world nor the hereafter. Because assalamu, peace of Allah, it means the goodness of both worlds. Blessings of Allah, goodness of both worlds. Mercy of Allah, goodness of both worlds. So my friends, let us go from here with this firm zeal that inshallah we will spread salam, we will frequently make salam, we will pronounce it correctly, we will make salam loudly as well, and we will try our utmost to become perfect believers, and we will try to perfect our outer lives, we will try to perfect our inner life, we will stay away from unnecessary gossip, we will stay away from unnecessary items on the social media, we will stay away from unnecessary items on WhatsApp, on YouTube, and we will make our lives valuable. We are wasting so many moments of our valuable lives on social media, on WhatsApp, on Twitter, on this, on that. Let us understand the purpose of our lives and let us prepare for the hereafter. We will also from here go with this firm resolution that we will stay away as far as possible from disputes. Disputes that lead to the destruction of our deen, destruction of our good deeds, and destruction in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept your coming, accept my coming, accept the hard efforts of Hazrat Maulana Abdul Rauf Sahib, our Imam Sahib, the whole management committee, the whole team, all the volunteers who have made this conference and the program possible for us. May this program become a means of our forgiveness. May it become a means of our salvation in the hereafter. And may it become a turning point in our lives for the better. And may this continue. May this continue until the day of Qiyamah, inshallah. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على رسوله سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك. يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما آتيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم لا تجعلنا من الغافلين اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وألف بين قلوبهم وأصلح ذات بينهم وانصرهم على عدوك وعدوهم اللهم اجمع كلمة المسلمين على الحق ووحد صفوفهم اللهم اجمع كلمة المسلمين على الحق ووحد صفوفهم اللهم اجمع كلمة المسلمين على الحق ووحد صفوفهم ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من زوال نعمتك وتحول عافيتك وفجاءة نقمتك وجميع سخطك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من جهد البلاء ودرك الشقاء وسوء القضاء وشماتة الأعداء اللهم إنا نسألك من فضلك العظيم اللهم افتح لنا أبواب رحمتك اللهم إنا نسألك الرضا بالقضاء وبرد العيش بعد الموت ولذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من ضراء مضرة ومن فتنة مضلة اللهم إنا نعوذ بك من الفتن ما ظهر منها وما بطن اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا اللهم إنا نسألك حسن الختام والعفو عما سلف وكان يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما یسر و سہولت کا معاملہ فرما عفو عافیت کا فضل و عنایت کا حفظ و امان کا معاملہ فرما اے ارحم الراحمین ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما اے ارحم الراحمین ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما اے ارحم الراحمین ہمارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما ہمارے چھوٹے بڑے ہر قسم کے گناہوں کو معاف فرما اے ارحم الراحمین اپنی مرضیات کے چلنے کی توفیق عطا فرما نامرضیات سے ہماری حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین تجھے ناراض کرنے والی ہر بات سے بچا لے تجھے ناراض کرنے والی ہر کام سے بچا لے الہ العالمین تجھے راضی کرنے والی ہر کام کو کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما تجھے راضی کرنے والی ہر بات بولنے کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین گناہوں سے ہمیں بچا لے لایانی سے ہمیں بچا لے الہ العالمین لایانی سے ہمیں بچا لے فحاشی اوریانیت سے بچا لے بے حیائی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین شرور فتن سے ہماری حفاظت فرما اے ارحم الراحمین اپنی محبت عطا فرما اپنا تعلق نصیب فرما اپنا قرب خاص نصیب فرما اپنے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وآلہ وسلم کی محبت عطا فرما ان کی سچی پکی اتباع کی توفیق عطا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین مرنے سے پہلے پہلے مرنے کی تیاری کی توفیق عطا فرما آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما آخرت کی ساری منزلیں آسان فرما اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین جہنم سے حفاظت فرما جنت الفردوس میں انبیاء صدیقین شہداء صالحین کی رفاقت میں داخلہ نصیب فرما الہ العالمین الہ العالمین الہ العالمین رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما الہ العالمین آج کے اس پروگرام کو بے انتہا قبول فرما الہ العالمین پورے یورکشائر میں بلکہ پورے ملک میں بلکہ پورے عالم میں ہدایت کے عام ہونے کا ذریعہ بنا الہ العالمین ہم سب کی زندگیوں کے بدلنے کا ذریعہ بنا الہ العالمین ہمارے تیرے قرب کو پانے کا ذریعہ بنا الہ العالمین تیری ولایت کے پانے کا ذریعہ بنا الہ العالمین ہماری مغفرت کا ذریعہ بنا الہ العالمین ہماری مغفرت کا ذریعہ بنا ہماری مغفرت کا ذریعہ بنا ہمارے صراط مستقیم پر آنے اور جمنے کا ذریعہ بنا اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین اے ارحم الراحمین یہاں آنے والوں میں سے کسی کو بھی محروم نہ فرما سننے والوں میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما اس کے لیے محنت و کوشش کرنے والوں میں سے کسی کو محروم نہ فرما الہ العالمین سب کارکنوں کو سب رضاکاروں کو الہ العالمین سب محنت کرنے والوں کو بے انتہا قبول فرما بے انتہا قبول فرما بے انتہا قبول فرما الہ العالمین بار بار ایسے پروگراموں میں شرکت کی ہمیں توفیق عطا فرما ہمارے لیے بار بار ایسے مفید پروگرام مہیا فرما الہ العالمین اسلاف کے نقش قدم پر کام کرنے کی ہمیں توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین جدت پسندی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما اباحت پسندی سے ہماری حفاظت فرما اباحیت سے ہماری حفاظت فرما ہر فتنے سے ہماری حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین بری نیت سے فاسد نیت سے ہماری حفاظت ہدایت فرما الہ العالمین. مقصود صرف تیری رضا ہو الہ العالمین. واہ واہ کی طلب سے الہ العالمین, جاہ کی طلب سے, شہرت کی طلب سے ہماری حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, اس مسجد میں اور اس مسجد کے تحت کام جتنے بھی ہو رہے ہیں سب کاموں میں خوب خیر و برکت پیدا فرما الہ العالمین. یہاں کے منتظمین کے اتفاق میں, ان کے خلوص میں, ان کی محنتوں میں, ان کی لگن میں اور الہ العالمین برکت پیدا فرما. یہاں کے اساتذہ, یہاں کے علماء, یہاں کے ائمہ, یہاں کے مشائخ کے علوم میں, فیوز میں, خلوص میں الہ العالمین اور برکت پیدا فرما, عزتوں میں اور برکت پیدا فرما الہ العالمین, لوگوں کے قلوب میں ان کی عظمتوں میں اور اضافہ فرما, اور الہ العالمین ان سے زیادہ فیضیاب ہونے کی, متمتع ہونے کی توفیق عطا فرما. یا ارحم الراحمین, پورے باٹلی شہر میں جتنے علماء ہیں, جتنے مشائخ ہیں, الہ العالمین ان کی عزتوں میں, ان کے فیوز میں, ان کے علوم میں, ان کے خلوص میں اور برکت پیدا فرما الہ العالمین, ان کی عظمت, ان کی قدردانی نصیب فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, پورے عالم میں دین کے جتنے کام ہو رہے ہیں, جس جس لائن سے ہو رہے ہیں, سب کو قبول فرما, سب کو قبول فرما, سب کو قبول فرما, سب کو اتباع شریعت کی توفیق عطا فرما, سب کو اخلاص نصیب فرما الہ العالمین, سب کو سلف صالحین کے طریق کے مطابق کام کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین. الہ العالمین, افتراق انتشار سے سب کی حفاظت فرما, اختلافات سے حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین, انتشارات سے حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین, سب کے دلوں کو جوڑ دے الہ العالمین, سب کے دلوں کو حق پر مشتمع فرما, سب کے دلوں کو حق پر مشتمع فرما, سب کے دلوں کو حق پر مشتمع فرما, ایک اور نیک بنا دے, شیر و شکر بنا دے. اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, حق کی حفاظت فرما, اہل حق کی حفاظت فرما, اہل حق کے کاموں کی حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین, حق کی حفاظت فرما, اہل حق کی حفاظت فرما, اہل حق کے کاموں کی حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین, حق کی حفاظت فرما, اہل حق کی حفاظت فرما, اہل حق کے کاموں کی حفاظت فرما. اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, اے ارحم الراحمین, پرفتن دور سے ہم لوگ گزر رہے ہیں, اے ارحم الراحمین ہماری حفاظت فرما, ہر فتنے سے, ہر شر سے ہماری حفاظت فرما, ہمارے ایمانوں کی حفاظت فرما, ہمارے دین کی حفاظت فرما, ہمارے اعمال کی حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین, دین کی صحیح سمجھ عطا فرما, صحیح غلط کے درمیان تمیز کرنے کی توفیق عطا فرما, تمیز کے بعد صحیح کو قبول کرنے کی الہ العالمین, غلط کو چھوڑنے کی توفیق عطا فرما الہ العالمین. الہ العالمین, الہ العالمین, رحم فرما, کرم فرما, رحم فرما, کرم فرما, رحم فرما, کرم فرما, مسلمانان عالم کے حال پہ رحم فرما, ممالک اسلامیہ کے حال پہ رحم فرما الہ العالمین, پورے عالم میں امن کو عام فرما, سلامتی کو عام فرما الہ العالمین, الہ العالمین, رحمتوں کو عام فرما. ان چیزوں کے عام ہونے کے لیے جن جن اسباب کی ضرورت ہے سب کا غیب سے انتظام فرما الہ العالمین. امت کو علم سے جوڑ دے, امت کو علماء سے جوڑ دے, امت کو مشائخ سے جوڑ دے, امت کو الہ العالمین اصلاح نفس سے جوڑ دے الہ العالمین, امت کو دعوت سے جوڑ دے الہ العالمین, امت کو تمام اچھے کاموں سے جوڑ دے الہ العالمین, امت کو آپس میں 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 جوڑ دے, امت کو ایک اور نیک بنا دے الہ العالمین, اختلافات انتشارات سے حفاظت فرما دے ارحم الراحمین, غیبت بہتان ان سب چیزوں سے سب کی حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین, آخرت کو برباد کرنے والے ہر عمل سے سب کی حفاظت فرما الہ العالمین, شیطان اور نفس کے مقاید سے سب کی حفاظت فرما ارحم الراحمین, ارحم الراحمین, ارحم الراحمین, رحم کا کرم کا معاملہ فرما. جن جن بھائیوں نے, بہنوں نے ہمیں دعاؤں کے لیے کہا ہے, لکھا ہے, جو ہم سے متوقع ہے, جن کا ہم پر حق بنتا ہے, جو ہم سے تعلق رکھتے ہیں, محبت رکھتے ہیں, خصوصاً ہمارے ماں باپ, اساتذہ, مشائخ, محبین, محسنین, دوست احباب, حاضرین مجلس, شرکائے مجلس, سبھی کے تمام جائز نیک مقاصد کو پورا فرما اے ارحم الراحمین. ہمارے ماں باپ, ہمارے اساتذہ, ہمارے مشائخ میں سے جو جو زندہ ہے ان کی عمروں میں برکت پیدا فرما, ان کی عمروں میں برکت پیدا فرما, ان کے فیوز میں, علوم میں برکت پیدا فرما, صحتوں میں برکت پیدا فرما الہ العالمین. ہمیں ان کی توجہات اور ان کی دعاؤں کا اور مرکز بنا دے اے ارحم الراحمین, مورد بنا دے. اور الہ العالمین جو جا چکے ہیں انہیں اپنے جوار رحمت میں جگہ عطا فرما, ہماری طرف سے جزائے خیر عطا فرما الہ العالمین. جو مانگا وہ بھی عطا فرما, جو مانگنا چاہیے نہیں مانگ سکا وہ بھی عطا فرما الہ العالمین. آپ کے نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم کی مانگی ہوئی ہر خیر عطا فرما, جن شرور سے پناہ مانگی تھی ان شرور سے پناہ عطا فرما. اللہم انا نسألک فی سفرنا هذا البر والتقوى ومن العمل ما ترضى, ربنا تقبل منا انك انت السميع العليم, وتب علينا انك انت التواب الرحيم, رب اغفر وارحم وانت خير الراحمين, سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون, وسلام على المرسلين, والحمد لله رب العالمين, واخر دعوانا ان الحمد لله رب العالمين برحمتك يا ارحم الراحمين.